don't really get to record Shalom for Wagyu Torah, so okay. So let me just get everyone's name for a second, because I met some of you, so Zach I know. Eitan was sitting in the front row last year in Arze, like, you know, making believe he listened to the shares. So, you know, I wonder who else do I know this. Yeah, I met you already at some point, right? Are you right? Ari, yes. Okay. What's your name? Rechali what? Shachter, you're by Shachter's daughter? One of them.
Right.
John and Shachter. And you are?
And John Comet.
John Comet. Give it.
Mark Fishner.
Mark. That's it. Behind Mark?
Okay.
Behind Mark?
Yeah.
Omer Ben Arush. Ezra, we said. Ezra. And you are?
Nate Sicker.
Okay. So Rabbi Garnschwartz yesterday, this whole got together on the way to the airport. I was traveling to the airport in Israel. So actually I was Levi on the airplane today. What does it mean I was Levi on the airplane today? They sat me in the kiddie section. So I was in the middle of a family with three infants. So you can connect the dots how much sleep I got. So I heard from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik that why was Levi called Levi? Because when Leah has Levi, she says, now my husband will spend time with me. Milaveh. I tell you, Lave Ishi. So people think very highfalutin ideas because Yaakov knows through prophecy they're going to have 12 Shabbatim and she already has her quota, three. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told us, well, it's very simple. When Reuven was born, Leah held Reuven in her right hand. When Shimon was born, Leah held her in the left hand. Now there's Levi. Hey, Yaakov, get over it. And he's going to hold Levi. So Yaakov's going to spend a lot of time in Leah's tent now. So, like, I think Rabbi Garnschwartz was in yeshiva when our third child was born, Tamar. No, a little before. She was 1996. That's her six. Uh-oh, don't tell my wife. Okay. So, like, when we had our third child, thank God today's married, Baruch Hashem, someone said, what's the difference between having two children and three children? I'm not giving fancy Levi partial plays. They said it's the difference between playing man-to-man defense and zone defense. We had two kids. I took care of Gali. My wife took care of Shoshi. Oh, somebody came home from the hospital. So you take care of the back part of the house. I'll take care of the front part of the house. I'm like, okay, your part. I'm in the front. Nice and quiet here. So it's all on you, the back part. So I'll talk a little bit about Kriya Satara, Baba Kama. I'll tell you a little bit about Rabbi Soloveitchik, some famous Torah about Rabbi Soloveitchik, but also because most of you are in the stage where you're applying to boys' school, so you're applying to a girls' school next year. So I'm also here as a, you know, representative of the Gushin, as everyone else said. It's a very, very powerful place, but don't get intimidated, but it is powerful. It is very different. It's next level, so I want to just give you a little bit of in the shiur about what we represent, what you can gain, and then we'll have one-on-ones and I'll be happy to answer your questions and stuff. Okay? The Gemara Bava Kama talks about a very interesting scene 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is big. Kriyas Yamsuf is once in history the Jewish people see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What word? What's the one word in Kriyas Yamsuf that captures how direct and how tangible Hashem's presence is? What's that? It's a two-letter word. Anyone? You get this word, you get into Gush. Assuming you pass your Bechim. What? Yad Hashem. Bayayisos Yad HaChazakah. Very good. But that's in the introduction. What about the Shir itself? That's the word Zeh. In Tanakh, whenever the word Zeh is employed, you're pointed to something which is tangible, which is palpable. Anyone give me an example where the word Zeh is a pointing Zeh?
Zeh
HaChodesh. Hazel Lachem, excellent. Okay, I'm keeping track here. Okay, one more. Hachodesh Hazel Lachem. Rabbi Zel Satara. Okay, Vizeh Maisa Ha. Which is the hardest clue for Moshe to wrap his head around? Vizeh Maisa Ha Mino. Okay. Eighth of a point. Like a 16th of a point. Okay. So that was the difference between the Rav and Rav Aaron. The Rav is from the old school. If you didn't get the answer right in his shiur, Eitan came in a little too tired. He'd wrap you across the face. Seriously. They once asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I'm not sure how this question, like it's so audacious and insulting to ask the question, but they asked him, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the Rav's brother. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say the question. How come your brother became the Rav and you're just Rav Aaron? It's the question. Like, hello, I'm in the room. So he said, well, my father, anyone know who the Rav's father was? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim's son. I'll tell you an interesting story about Rav Moshe Soloveitchik a little bit later. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik would learn with his children, would learn with the Rav and learn with Rav Aaron. That's how you become the Rav. You sit around the table when you're 4 years old. You don't talk about the Mets and you don't talk about cartoons. You talk about Shas. You talk about it becomes part of your blood, part of your... And that's really what we try to do in yeshiva. I get this all the time. Again, we're going to go into the learning, into yeshiva, because I really want to make this. I've taught you guys a lot, but I want to make this about this choice that I really call this chance, because it's not a choice. It's really a chance. It's sometimes I hear boys saying, well, Rebbe, I know you learned Gemara really, really well in yeshiva, and it's a top learning, and it's Brisker Lumdus, and it's a Masorah of Lichtenstein. But tell me about the religious experiences in yeshiva. What they mean is the singing, and the dancing, and the tilim, and the kumzitzes. And I'd be happy to share that with you, but I disagree with a fundamental premise. Because in high school, for many people, even serious people, you're serious, you learn, you like Rebbe Gordon Schwartz, most of you, not all of you, and I'll keep it confidential, Zach wrote me an email, but okay, fifth column. But does Gemara really, really get into your kishkes? Does it really become part of, do you go to sleep at night saying, wow, I just read a Tosfos, wow, I got an answer? What? Probably not. What creates that spark? What creates the lightning? What creates the thunderbolts and lightning? It's the kumzitz. It's the... In Gush, Gemara really matters. I'm telling Torah to my Talmidim from Rav Aaron, from Rav Soloveitchik. I remember I was in... I went to Gush, and my Zaidi, who learned in Slobodka, couldn't wrap his head around the fact that I went to a Dati Lomi Yeshiva. Like, it didn't make sense to him. It was kfir, it was heresy. So I would go to his house, and I would wear a kippah the size. I promise you, it was a kippah surga. It was probably as big as the Dome of the Rock. I mean, that's how big the kippah. I was like, you ever see these Dati Lomi people in Israel with these big kettle tops? And I'd walk into his house and he'd say, where's your yarmulke? Where's your... So it's there, like, because it didn't count. Because it wasn't 8 times big, but it didn't count. Come on, I dish it out. So then all of a sudden we're working home once. Mamash Chanukah time, Matzah Shabbos Chanukah, we were talking about Hakim and Shul, you light Minar before Havdalah. But at home, you make Havdalah before the Minar. So he said, he didn't understand, it's based on a Taz. So he said, what svara can you give? It's a really baffling svara. So I gave him a svara based on something Rav Aaron had told me in the name of the Rav. All question of Minara part of the Sibor. And my Zaidi, who had like learned in Slobodka with Rabbi Rudiman from Neri Israel, knew all the Gedolim, knew the Stipler Rav, the original Stipler Rav, firsthand. Like I have original Stipler Rav svara that my Zaidi got for me, not like the ones you can buy in the svara store. He said, where's that Rav Chaim written? I said, it's not written. Rav Aaron told it to me in the name of the Rav, who heard it directly from Rav Chaim. Like he said, and like the whole complexion of our relationship changed. And we learned together, and just now he knew that I had a Masorah. It was really, really powerful. So they asked Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, how come the Rav became the Rav and you became, just Rav Aaron? They said, our father used to learn with us. And if we didn't have the answer correctly, he'd slap us across the face with a kettle or something, with a pot. That's how they learned in Europe, because it mattered, because it made a difference to them. And Rav Aaron told this interviewer, my brother told the truth, I lied. And when my father asked us if we knew something, and my brother didn't know, he told the truth, so he got slapped in the face. I would lie, I'd say I know it, I'd move on. So that's how the Rav became the Rav, because it was hammer it into him, because if he didn't know it, his father would slap him across the face, and Rav Aaron evidently would. So, the Rav...
Rav Lichtenstein, by the way, said that if I had grown up in the house, I don't know why I would have picked up a Gemara again.
Right. Correct. And that leads into my story. So in the Rav Shir, if you didn't get the answer the right way, he'd curse you out in Yiddish. Did you teach you some Yiddish curse words? Really cool. Next time you play S.A.R., you can curse him in Yiddish. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So, Ferid. I can curse in Spanish also, but you're not allowed to know that. I should stop recording because I grew up in Brooklyn. Whatever. Spanish, Italian, but... So in Yiddish, a ferret. You know what a ferret is? A ferret is a donkey or a jackass. Because on a ferret, you're ranking them out. So the Rav would routinely call people, a ferret, it was the ferret. Rav Aaron was the exact opposite. Rav Aaron was like so warm and friendly. And in his shiur, if you didn't know it, he'd want you to get the answer. So like he'd go and he'd say, you know, well, what's the svara? All right, what's the svara? And you'd like stammer and stumper and you know, we'll get it. And then he'd say, okay, it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the, and you go, I don't know. Okay, it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the chef. You go, ah, yes, Mitzuyan, great answer. Gavra, Chefzer, Yitavil Magon, Rikidega, wrapped up into one. That was how the shiur was. It was a very, very different feel. What were we talking about? How do we start? Anyone remember? What? What? Right, so you got an eighth of a point. But what did you get an eighth of a point for? Oh, right, so that can't leave the MA, right? Menor. Okay, a little tired. So at Yamsuf, when did they say Zeh? Where does the word Zeh appear in Kriyas Yamsuf and Shiras Hayam? Zeh. Zeh. Very good. That's 2 points. Zeh can leave in there. They saw Hashem, it was so palpable, they could use the word Zeh. But then, like, what happens? You walk out of Shul and Yom Kippur and the world is just regular blah, right? Yom Kippur, wow, Vino Mankeinu, Shema Yisrael, Chaneinu Vaneinu, Hashemu Elokin, the heavens are parting. And then, okay, let's move on. Who won the jet game? Well, we know the answer to that. But who won the game? Who played? Yankees, Mets. So how do you lock in? How do you lock in religious experience? It goes back to what I was talking about before. When boys ask me that question, tell me in Gush about the religious experience aside from learning, I say, okay, I'll tell it to you, but I disagree with the premise, because learning Gemara and Gush really matters. It really matters to you to get the Pshat and Tosfos and to get the Svar of Reb Chaim, and there's a whole base medrash of people, 500 people, and Rabbanim who wrote Svarim on this, and Rabbanim who taught your Rabbanim, and you can see where Rabbi Garm Schwartz sat. It's a shrine. No one sits there. There's a big sun. No one could care less. Garden who? What? Garden? What, he's a gardener? Oh, there's a gardener. But, oh yeah, that's what he said, and that's it matters, and it how to take Gemara and make it part of your kishkas. That's what we want to do, not to say, okay, I'll learn Gemara because I want to know Jewish history and Jewish culture and Jewish halacha. Now let's get into the Avodas Hashem. How does this become Avodas Hashem? How does this become part of your kishkas? So the answer, they all said, Zekei Levi Aveu. And how do you lock it in? So let's read the Gemara. Okay? What happened? Vayechu Shloshes Yamim Bamidbar, line number 3. They spent 3 days walking around the desert after Yamsuf. V'lo Matsu Mayim. They couldn't find any, look at me, water. But we all know what water is in Tanakh. What's water in Tanakh? Torah. If you get 10 answers to why water is considered like Torah, you're in Tekush. You can't get all 10. You're 10 in the Medrash. What's the easiest? Yeah. Say for life. Second. Comes from Shemayim down to earth. Key restored the fox. Starts drop by drop and then it becomes a torrent. This is drop by drop. Drop here, drop there, fresh, 45 minutes. It's going to become a big Talmud Chacham in this room. Do you know how many Frisch guys I've taught over the years who are now big rabbis? Bigger than a Rabbi Garm Schwartz, if you could believe it. I just saw Stephen Goldsmith. I went to his shiva. Great Frisch story. He's a TBC guy. Okay. A little traitor. There's a Frisch guy who came to yeshiva a long, long time ago. It's 1999 or something, 1998. Well, before you. Today's a Rosh Kollel up north. Don't get scared. We don't make only Rosh Kollels, but a big Talmid Chachamim. I remember he came to me around Thanksgiving time. He said, Rabbi, there's a Frisch reunion Matzei Shabbos. But this guy was on fire from like day one, burning around the clock. He says, I shouldn't go, right? It's Bittul Torah. I don't want to get together with the friends and the girls and the Matzei Shabbos and the food. I should be in the base of Medrash learning. I said, well, if you don't go, then people are going to assume that from kids who like to learn are all snobs and smug and they don't care about anyone in their world. So he says, I should go, Rebbe? I said, Bittul Torah. So he said, what should I do? And I say, it's on you. I don't make decisions for people. I just help you see factors in decisions. That's what life's about, guys. Don't follow people and take away your decisions or your independence or your identity. If Find people who amplify who you are, who take who you are and make you the best version of yourself, who show you, take you to places that you can grow and blossom. So he went to the reunion. Now he's a Rosh Kol, he's written two Svarim. It's a lot of really, really big stuff. Secondly, I'm there in my email at Torah. It starts like, I've been in this building, in the original first building, a little, 45 minutes, roll call, and then all of a sudden, it explodes. So there are many reasons that Torah is like water. So they went for 3 days. It wasn't about the Torah. It was about the water. They just didn't have contact with Hashem. They missed that contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Guys, how do you bring Hashem into the room? When's the last time? The Torah is one way, but when's the last time you thought, if I forget to ask me one of the top five things that Rav Lichtenstein did for us, you felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the room. When Rav was in the room, you felt the Ribbono Shel Olam in the room. He's just looking at someone who's such an Oved Hashem, his Oved Hashem was so breathtaking. So he was in the room. Today, when I want to feel Hashem in the room, don't tell anyone. I'm going to stop recording. When you want to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the room, when I'm davening and I don't have proper kavanah, you know what I do? Negosh Bismarish? I look at Rav and see. And I use that as a mental anchor to bring me back into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thinking about all sorts of distractions. It's like at Rav Aaron's seat. I look at Rav Amital's seat. I think about great people who I came into contact with, and all of a sudden, I daven better. So they went for 3 days. Hello, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Yanina.
What?
I'm Yanina.
Yanina what?
Weinberg.
Welcome, Yanina. And even things out a little. Call a couple of your friends. We got to get these boys. Okay. You girls are 12th graders also?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So they went for 3 days. They didn't have contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. 3 days without contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that could create very interesting words. I remember hearing the Rav say this. Okay? Amru Ein Mayim, source number one, line four. Ein Mayim El Torah, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Look at that fifth line. Nilu. Nilu is a very interesting word. Nilu means they were depressed, they were melancholy, they were in a rut, they were weak. Nilu means they were in a bad state because they had missed contact with Hashem for 3 days. Very interesting phrase the Rav said. Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneim V'tiknu Lahem Shiukarim B'Shabbos. Interesting phrase. The Nevi'im made a takana that they should read from the Torah every 3 days, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, so that you shouldn't have 3 days without reading from the Torah. Who are the Nevi'im then? I know of one Navi there. Who is the one Navi? Moshe at the Yamsuf. Right. Well, Ezra made it later. Like, who else were the Nevi'im alongside of Moshe? What does it mean, Amdu Nevi'im? Look at that word, Amdu Nevi'im Shebenan. Yeah, it's a little bit later. We don't really know. Who are these other Nevi'im? Aaron was a Navi, Miriam was a Navi, Nevi'ah, but who are the other people? It sounds like there were teams of Nevi'im. Obviously, you guys know that in the days of Nevuah, it wasn't just localized to a person here or there. There were thousands and thousands of Nevi'im. The 48 that were canonized, those are the 48 Nevi'im that spoke about Jewish history and long-term impact, but there were thousands of Nevi'im. Could you imagine? I mean, part of living your life as a Jew is imagining yourself living in a different reality. Could you imagine one day, talking to the boys now, could you imagine one day, seriously, wearing tefillin all day? How would that change your life? How would your life be different if you wore tefillin all day? Or you could do everything. But you'd just be so locked in religiously that everything would be, well, you'd be in the fields, you'd be talking to your wife, you'd be socializing, but it would be sometimes, could you imagine not having a democracy? We're going to have a monarchy. So we love democracy, we celebrate democracy, we support democracy, but that's not the end game. The end game isn't democracy. Could you imagine, Yonina, I apologize for this R-rated reference. It's called Rabbi-rated reference, okay? Only rabbis can say this. You're like, okay, I'm here all week. Really tips at the door, okay? R-rated reference. You imagine taking these huge cows. I just took my granddaughter to see the cows in Gush. There's a kibbutz room. We saw the cows. I can show you pictures. Then I won't get up. I know you're all thrilled to see the pictures of my granddaughter and the cow. I'll show you later. And this cow, like, oh, the big cow, scrap. Imagine taking a huge, I've never seen a cat with a thick neck, you know, like a bit thick neck. Slicing it, having the blood spill all over the base of Mikdash, rivers of blood. That's our world, guys. That's what we're heading to. So part of being a Jew is living in the world we know, but also imagining worlds that we don't know and can't know. Like, part of being a Yid is having an apocalyptic vision. You live in your world, you live in Teaneck, you like Teaneck, you like Frisch, you like hockey, you like. You go to the other party and say, well, this is not reality. This is not the idea. This is my reality, I'll accept it, I'll embrace it. Not the idea. Ideal is filling all day. Who wants to become a doctor here? Anyone? One day we won't need doctors. Who wants to become a lawyer? Won't need lawyers. Who wants to become a Rebbe? One day we won't need Rebbes. Because everyone will teach their children. Or grandchildren, you better start looking for a job. Every night when I do the dishes, because my wife doesn't do anything, we rule my house, I do every single dish. People say, why do you do so many dishes? I say, I'm preparing for the Mashiach era. They'll be out of a job, no yeshivas, everyone's going to teach their sons in their home. I'm going to get a job at an all-night diner, cleaning dishes. That's what I was made for. He said, I'm not really a rabbi. One professional night when I was in YU, they had all these rooms, and I was looking for the gas station attendant rooms. They don't have to be a gas station attendant, pumping gas, saying hello to people, eating chocolate bars. That's what I really want. I walked into the wrong room, walked into the rabbi room. I just thought the signs were confusing. Get a job as an all-night diner. In your hand, you should know that I got a little secret. This is a secret for the boys, a secret way to get into Gush. When I shake your hands, I like people whose hands are dirty and they work and it's been in the crowd and the scarred in there. You know, the workers, the sweaters, the grimy grim. Those are the guys that get into it. I shake a guy's hand first, I'm shaking a little silk ball. Yeah, this guy's a little too dainty for me, you know. So come to your Gush interview the day before, stick your hand in the ground a few times, cut yourself, go play some hockey, you know. I'm ready for my Gush interview. And I got like a couple rules in the Gush interview. What I hate in the Gush interview, don't even try this on me, because then you are so not accepted. I'll call the other yeshiva on speed dial. I got something for you. Do you guys have any of you guys like to take coaching to get into fancy schmancy colleges? To actually have interview coaches. We will spend a couple sessions learning how to take an interview so you can pass your interview to Harvard, but yeah, like who cares? So sometimes I'll try to play those games on me. So I'll say, so tell me, Aryeh, tell me about your extra learning outside of yeshiva. So they'll go like this, make believe I'm the interviewer. That's a very good question over there again. Because they've been coached to take a long cleansing breath and to deflect and to delay. So like, it's a very good question. Oh man, big X nail on the ushke. And there's no way it's going to get. I spend the rest of the interview like doodling, checking my eBay. Okay, yes, what were you saying? Like, there's no way this guy's coming to yeshiva. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So the Nevi'im made a takana. I got to get home. The Nevi'im made a takana. Then you shouldn't go 3 days without Tara. Tikner lahem shiu karin b'Shabbos. Read every Shabbos mincha. Mafsigin b'achar b'Shabbos. Karin b'sheni. You don't read on Sunday. You read on Monday. Mafsigin. You don't read on Tuesday, Wednesday. Karin b'chamishi. You know, there's a guy just got married in yeshiva. Rabbi Joel Cohen's youngest son. You were probably with one of the parents?
He's our
one
teacher.
What?
No, I'm Cohen.
Joel Cohen?
Yeah.
Probably a different Cohen.
No.
He's Skype. Okay. Yeah, like so his youngest son just got married. He was like Gush, like Shalachas or something. Youngest son just got married. He's in Hesder. Really, really beautiful guy. He just came back to yeshiva. When was it? Today's what, Tuesday? He came back to yeshiva on Sunday, finished marrying, getting ready to learn the Kollel. I had one question. My question for Chassan. One day you'll be a Chassan, nice, handsome guys, most of you, but be a Chassan one day. I know some of you are getting started early on that, so you're not doing the mitzvahs, you want to start the mitzvah early, okay. You know, okay, now we're good. Okay, get that look. Thank you, Eitan. Thank you for giving it up. Okay, Zach, very well. Okay, my notes here. So I come back on Sunday, I go up and solo. Where were you on Monday? You know, we don't need chassanim to walk into the yeshiva on Tuesday, Wednesday. The best time to have a chassan is Monday. Why?
No tachan.
Like, you know, I don't want to get off of Sunday tachan. So remember, when you're a chassan, just make sure you go to big minyan on Monday and Thursday because you'll be like a rock star. There's nothing better than that. You know, when the guy finishes, Baruch Hashem, Hamavarach Hashem, Bo Yisrael, Bashalom. Awkward silence. Yiskadav, Yiskadashinerba. Yes! I shouldn't be recording this. I'm a rabbi. No, I like Tachanon and Dimspal for Beis HaMikdash. So, getting back to the Gemara. Mafsikin Ereshabbos. Here's the key word, three lines from the bottom. Kidei, Shelo, Yalinu, Gimel, Yamin, Velotara. This is the source of Kriyas HaTara. Moshe Rabbeinu, Mark, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kriyas HaTara, 3 days, shouldn't go 3 days without learning. The Rav claimed that Kriyas HaTara is not based on, let's all get together and study Torah in public so that we can learn Torah together. It's based on something that's more experiential. That you shouldn't go 3 days without hearing the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. And quite frankly, two people in this room are pater from that mitzvah. You're invited to, and today we place a lot of emphasis on it. And the truth is, I don't know if you're applying to Migdal Oz. I'm not the officer that tests people. But when I walk through Migdal Oz, I cry like a baby. There are other babies that cry. Because I remember it was one little caravan, and we had like 10 students, and now it's huge. It's a huge campus with women and their children and strollers. So, but we're in a patra from Talmud Torah. But Kriyas HaTara is not Talmud Torah in a general setting. Kriyas HaTara, the Rav says, is a chance to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu less than 3 days apart. We should never go 3 days in the history of the Jewish people without connecting with Hashem. And there's one word that the Rav inferred this from in the Rambam. Let's see if you can find the word in the Rambam. When the Rambam describes Kriyas HaTara, Hilchos Tefila, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, which itself is interesting, source two, guys, where would you put Hilchos Kriyas HaTara? If I just asked you, met you on the street, Zach, where would you put, which section, how many sections in the Rambam's Yad Chazaka?
14.
Very good, okay, like an eighth of a point. 14. What word? What's the word that's gematria 14?
Yad.
Yad Chazaka. Here's a cool one. Anyone that can name all 14, you're in. Anyone? Here's a chance. Come on, guys. Swing for the fences. Just say 14 words. You're making it right. Nothing to lose. Fact check. Mada. Ahava. Zmanin. Okay, a little homework for tonight. Give you the first three. The Rambam was incredible because the Rambam knew Torah so well. This is a good Ravan story. Like most people, you study Torah. So you're reading Bava Basra. What are you learning Bava Kama this year? So if you're the Ravid, so you're learning Bava Kama, you'll write your parish in Bava Kama. If you're the Rashba, you're learning Bava Kama, you'll write your parish in Bava Kama. You know a lot of Torah. You know better than we'll ever know it. You write great tradition. But could you imagine knowing the entire Torah as one topic? The Rambam mapped Torah into 14 sections. To map, you have to see the whole picture. If you want to create a map of the United States, you have to go up in a spaceship and look down. Here's Arizona. Here's New Mexico. Here's Teaneck. You have to go up to see the whole thing. And the Rambam said there are 14 sections of Torah. One section called theology, Mada. One section called mitzvahs that aren't time-bound, Ava. One section called mitzvahs that aren't time-bound, Zmanim. One mitzvah. The Rambam made up a section called Shoftim. There is no mesechta called Shoftim. Shoftim contains the laws of Gentiles and the laws of monarchy and the laws of wars. And there's no mesechta. He just knew Torah so well. He took details from Shas. Bam! He made a topic. It's incredible. Who else mapped Torah? Who mapped Torah into four zones? The Rambam mapped Torah into 14. Who mapped Torah into four zones? Torah, actually. Who is the Torah's father? Who is the Torah's father? Torah's father was a rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr Rush. Okay. 1/64th creditor. The Rush. Who is the Rush's ready? Okay, cool.
There we go. We can go up.
Yeah, who's my rubber's ready?
Is your Yvonne?
No, the
Rabbi.
My Rottenberg. Who is his rabbi?
There's one in between.
Oh, the Rizzer.
Oh! I was about to give a hint. Oh, Rizzer. Very good. Who is Rizzer's rabbi?
The Rivai.
let's say, put an elephant there. You're like,
really?
Yeah,
no.
It was Rebbe.
Now the other two that you
said.
The
Rebbe
Somebody
else said it. Grandfather. Ravan. We also had another Rebbe called the Uraim. Rebbe Yezimimitz. Who was the Uraim's Rebbe? Ben and Tom. Who's the Ben and Tom's Rebbe? Was Rashi. Could you imagine going from Rashi all the way down to the tour? Heck, that's what I'm here to talk to you about, seriously. Because I have to tell you a little about the yeshiva. Let me tell you my moment in Gush. This is my moment in Gush. I come from a very, very yeshivish background. I learned in Yiddish. I learned Gemara Baal Peh. They wanted my Rebbeim, they wanted me to go to Kol Torah and Merkaz HaTorah and Ohel Torah and B'nai Torah and Minchas Torah and Yeshivas HaTorah. It just wasn't for me. But I came in, man, with my antennas really high because I'm not taking diluted Torah, little basketball. I wanted the real thing. I wanted a Masar. Because I had heard from my Rebbeim. I learned in a place called Kamenetz, and there was a yeshiva in Europe. And the yeshiva in Europe is Baruch Ber Leibowitz, who is a Talmud of Reb Chaim. So I'm not looking for low-class learning. So Rav Aaron's giving shir one day, shir klalis, which lasted about 2.5 hours. So just be thankful. This is about 2.5 hours. He once gave 2 successive shir klalis on Trey Trey. The longest shir klal I ever attended, which I think is totally ironic, was about 3.5 hours. What was the sugya? Baal Tosef. So, like, is anyone paying attention here? Are you giving a shir on Baal Tosef and you're talking for 3 hours? Like, now let it add to the mitzvah.
Just hoping that you
will. Anyway, so, and Rav Aaron was talking about any coin in here? Your coin, right? So, let's say Ari is a little tired one day. You know, I don't want to be duchen. Eretz Yisrael will be duchen every day. He said, you're a little tired one day. You turn to Ariel Khan. You know Ariel Khan? He's a guy in Gush that is also Khan. Turn to Ariel Khan. You say, Ariel, a little tired today. You say the Berchus Kona. I'll be Yotze. I'll just say Ami. Can you use Shomea Keona for Berchus Kona? The answer is you can. It's the whole question. So Rav Aaron said, the Beis Halevi. Who was the Beis Halevi?
Reb
Chaim's grandfather, Reb Chaim's father. He was the original Yasher Ber Soloveitcher, the original Yosef Dov. Bear is Dov. Dov is a bear. In Yiddish, it's a bear. Okay, so Yosef Dov, Alevi Soloveitcher, the original one, learned within itsif. My Zayi learned within itsif. Zel Gruben Beng is learned within itsif, the Chavrusa. Got a great story, he's brilliant.
There's like, can you share
what?
Can you share Ruben?
No, that's what Ruben Rozovsky. He wrote Ad Svar. But he was like the Bucky. Rishon Zalman used to sit at his table. Rishon Zalman, like all the young, my Zed was the Zel Gruben Beng, he was the Rav Shach of his day. So he told me, like in 1881, I heard the story, the Russians wanted to close the Luzhin, because it's this whole back and forth, because they didn't want to teach Russian language. So one day the authorities finally walked in, this is your last chance, you told us you teach Russian, none of your boys can speak Russian, we're closing up shop tomorrow, unless you can prove to us that some of these boys know Russian. So the Nitziv turned to my Zaidi, he said, do me a favor, can you learn Russian overnight? And he said, yeah, sure. Next day I came in, passed the test in Russia, and they kept the Russian open for like another 3 years or something. So I don't really speak Russian, guys, but I can say Das Vidanya, that's about as far as I go. So what are we talking? So Yosef, so Rav Aaron quoted of Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik as talking about whether a Kohen could be Yotze Shomea Kohen. And then Rav Aaron said, look at my hand, but Rav Moshe, who was one of Reb Chaim, who was of Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik's son, he argued with his father about this particular point. So the machlokes between Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik and Reb Chaim. Then Rav Aaron said, but Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim's son, argued with his father Reb Chaim, agreeing basically with his grandfather of Yosef Dov Alevi. So the machlokes of Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik against Reb Chaim. But then Rav Aaron said, but the Rav Moshe's son, basically argued with his father Rav Moshe, agreeing with his grandfather Rav Chaim, disagreeing with his great-grandfather, Rav Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik. So now you have Rav Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe, and the Rav. And then Rav Aaron said, but when I was learning the sugya with the Rav, I told him that I disagreed with what he said, agreeing with Rav Moshe, disagreeing with Rav Chaim, but agreeing with If you ask a double egg, it's all they took the first. So now I had five generations of brisker masara basically being handed to me on a platter. And then I promise you, I'll never forget this moment. Rav Aaron said in the shir quality in front of 500 boys, he said, but last night, I was learning the sugya with my son Moshe, who's now the Rosh Hashiva. And Moshe told me that he disagrees with what I said, agreeing with the Rav, disagreeing with the Moshe, agreeing with the Reb Chaim, but disagreeing. So now I had six generations of brisker masara, and I felt grounded. I felt like I don't have to feel like my masara is less than I'm coming from. Here I'm hearing Torah from six generations.
Caleb Chapman and Sarah Forgash, please come to the main office.
And then my next move was, I got an idea. Can I join this little party? And yeah, your name isn't Salvei Chico. Left and say, shut up and sit in the corner. Okay, that's not really what happened. But I was sitting there shaking like a leaf. So the Rav would quote this Rambam, the Rambam source number 2. Moshe Rabbeinu, Tikkun Lem Yisrael, Chiyu Koren. Right, so we're saying before, I'm sorry, Zach, the thing you said, if you were to place Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, which section would you place it in? The section that talks about learning Torah. It's called Hilchos Talmud Torah. Very good, which is one of the five of Manda. Manda has five sections. One section is Yisodei HaTorah, the basics of theology. Anyone else know Manda?
Tshuva.
What? Tshuva, very good. Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, the Isser of Avodah Zarah. Hilchos Deos, how do you become a better person? And Talmud Torah. So those are the five of Manda. So you would put it, I would put it to Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is a form of Talmud Torah. Where does the Rambam put Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah? Because interesting, it makes that shift. So the Rav talked about that shift. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu, what time do you have to end, Rabbi Gorenchuk? What's it, 12?
Is there really classic? I checked on the rooms that are open. If there's another class here that is just coming, we can move to the next room.
Oh, okay, there's some more time to.
Do you have any here?
Macroeconomics, Torah.
It's more important. It's more important.
I don't know.
She's just a woman.
She'll understand. This is fresh, guys. What are you saying? She'll understand.
No, she's still per se.
What?
Per se.
Oh,
she told me last night how many missiles there are on there. I said, "There's this is India's clothing." I said, "Are you going to say set?" Because I've heard that, but I don't understand what set.
Does she show like Bob?
Well,
as an inside joke, guys. When you get to the Bahag felt that Mrs. Drabanan or Derisa. Famous Saints of Hokus Bahag. Relevant to Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah. What's the Isser? Get this, you're into Gersh, Isami Pesim Bechina. If Mrs. Drabanan or Derisa, based on what Pasuk?
Mrs. Mike, please call 217.
Who is the Bahag?
The Rich Barnier.
What's his name?
This is
actually a true question.
Last outdoor farming session before the winter season.
Yeah, this is like interesting side stuff. Okay, so we got to do a little learning. So the Rav said, Shelo Yelech Kidei Shelo Yishu, line number 2, Kidei Shelo Yishu Shlosha Yamin below. I can hear the Rav's voice. Shnia Satela. It's very heavy Lithuanian. Below Shnia Satera. Every time my first day in the Rav Shir. You guys know Rabbi Jacker from TABC?
Yeah.
It's crazy. My first day in the Rav Shir, back from Gersh, 1985, sitting in front of the Rav, literally, like a front row, I'm ready to go, rock and roll. We're learning Rosh Hashanah Chavav. The Rav's talking about Kol HaShayferes, Kshelos, Kulam, Chutz Mishel Pela, Amar Ule, Ula Ad Gizokt, Ein Kategel, Nase Sonegel. He asked a question, and he said, and then Ula Kimen Del Sikaranu Kibifnim Domi, I remember those words, he said, who has a svore? I said, hey, you know, I'm pretty big, Mr. Big, just back from Turin and Rav Lichtenstein's shir. But I'm just like my first day in the Rav shir, this is like the biggest shir, best shir in the last 200 years. I raised my hand, I'm just a little nothing. I keep my hand down. All of a sudden, Rabbi Jack there, who I say, Howie takes my, his name's Howie, takes my hand, grabs it, pushes it in front of the Rav, and the Rav says, yes. I give my smirk, shaking. And the Rav looks at me and goes, no. So now people put out their notes of the Torah they heard from the Rav. I'm going to put out my Sefer. It's going to have one page. No. That's what the Rav told me. No. They tell me, no. But the Rav would say, Kriyas HaTorah is not a din. Seriously, let's see if you can think a little brisker. Briskers like to make categories, concise, clear, sharp. It's not a lach of limud Torah, because it's not cognitive. It's not just limud HaTorah in a public setting. What word does the Rambam use as opposed to limud, as opposed to cognitive? Is a shmiah, hearing, connected, feeling Hashem's word. That's what yeshiva is about, guys. Can you take all this and all this, guys? It talks about oxes, and it talks about mud and tom and boar and ace and who cares? Every word here is Devar Hashem. And if you understand it deeply, then Hashem's in the room. And you won't go to sleep until you can understand what Rashi's saying, and you learn to love it and talk about it. I mean, I knew this man when he was your age. And he could have done anything he wanted to. Seriously, he didn't back into this job because, oh my goodness, I need to make some money. Oh my goodness, woe is to me. I'm a fancy lawyer, fancy doctor, fancy gas station attendant. What gas do you recommend? Well, I don't know. Depends if you want the gas that will help your car, or the ideal concept of gas. What do you mean by gas? Like, I just want gas, you know? Like the old Rav Aaron story. Rav Aaron was once driving with his wife Tova Lichtenstein, and the road was blocked. So Rav Aaron rolled down his window and wanted to ask the cop whether he could go through. But like you and I talk in plain English. Rav Aaron spoke in Anglo-Saxon, ancient poetic English. So he puts his head out of the window and he says, Constable, is this a viable thoroughfare? Hey man, what language are you speaking? Hey boy, what language are you speaking? He says, Constable, is this a viable thoroughfare? Whoa. So finally his wife comes to the rescue, and like every Rav Aaron story ends with Tova coming to the rescue because she's like grounded. She goes, Officer, she's got a very thick Boston accent, Boston. Officer, he wants to know if the road is open. I said, hey, go ahead, you can go through or something. So like, you know, my favorite Rav Aaron story about language, we were learning Nedarim, and the first Ron in Nedarim wants to know if you use an outdated language. Can you make a Nedar in an outdated language, an obsolete language? So Rav Aaron says, I promise, in the middle of Shir, summer Shir, he says, let's say I'm the only person alive, so he spoke, I'm the only person alive who still speaks Anglo-Saxon. And we said, that's probably true, Rebbe. That's not hypothetical. You probably are the only person alive. So we're like, well, we're pinching ourselves. Don't laugh, here. So Shmiya Satara is, can you feel Kadosh Baruch Hu in the room? Guys, stop asking that question. What about, yes, it's important to dance. Yes, we have dancing in yeshiva. Yes, it's important to sing. And we have a lot of it. People are so shocked with it. Yes, but you can't keep creating that dichotomy. I'm learning Gemara because it's my past. I need to know halacha. It's expected of me. It's a mitzvah. But I feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu when I'm dancing, singing, davening, chesed. It's all true. But you have to be able to turn Torah, not just Tanakh, but Torah Sheval Peh, into Dvar Hashem, Elokim Chaim, and understand the logic deeply and understand what's are you learning now?
Karka.
Karka, and why is karka not something you can hold? And how do you transfer ownership of karka? And why people should or shouldn't be like karka? And how the kinyanim work? Because that will help you understand. I have a hashtag that I tell my boys all the time in yeshiva. This is a hashtag I always use on my Instagram account with my 35 million followers. Minus a few. Minus like 34,900,000. I have one picture on my Instagram. I never.
Yeah, really. You and Donald Trump, a little bit over 30 people.
I'll catch it. Trust me, when Mashiach comes and people really get the light, I'll have a lot more followers than Donald Trump. That I can promise you. So my hashtag is Lamdas is life. When you understand Lamdas deeply, because Lamdas is understanding Hashem's Ratzon, and everything in this world is Hashem's Ratzon. So everything that exists is based on Hashem's Ratzon. So you two guys are going to have lunch together. And there'll be some part of your relationship that'll come. that I can find in Lumbus. If I knew Torah well enough, I'd know everything about life in Lumbus because it's Hashem's mind, and Hashem's mind is responsible for everything. Therefore, Lumbus is life. So the Rav claimed that Kriya Satara is not a chance to let's all gather together in public and learn some Torah. It's a chance to reconnect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, reconnect to the Rabbanu Shalom. Some days I get to learn a lot of Torah. A little secret, I'm going to stop recording here. Some days I really don't get to learn that much Torah. I'm busy. Funeral. Weddings. I was in the car with Moshe on the way to a funeral. Moshe looked at me and I said, I just have a question for you. I'm like a Rebbe. So I go to about two or three functions a week, funerals, bar mitzvahs, weddings. Like, I have a lot of people that I cycle through, a lot of people. I said, how many events a week do you have to go through as Rosh Hashanah? I was looking at him as a question. So, like, you're busy. Being a person is to be a Baal Chesed. I do the dishes. I clean my house. I take care of my eight children. I sometimes the day ends. And I don't consider giving shir on things that I've read 30,000 times learning Torah. For me, I've got to learn things I haven't learned. Okay? Hashem's not going to be proud of me when I get to Shemayim. They gave a good shir in Frisch at 11 o'clock to a couple of high school, you know, nincompoops. I don't see that. High school buddies. Hashem wants me to learn Torah. But when the end of the day comes and I haven't learned that day, I'll open up and I'll read a Mishnah or something just to connect, just to maintain that lifeline that Kodesh Baruch. We once asked Rav Aaron, famous question, famous Rav Aaron story. Asking him at a tish, we said, Rebbe, why should you learn Torah? And the guard's about to like continue the question, why is Torah so important? Rav Aaron stopped him in the middle, and he had this voice of righteous indignation. He would say, why learn Torah? Why breathe? And then he ended like that. Why learn Torah? Why breathe? And it's like a mic drop. Like, why breathe? Do you believe Kim Chayinu V'Yerach Yameinu? Maybe not in high school. And that's fair. It's fair to be a high school kid. But can you move to that place where, and it's not just about the feeling, if you don't have the skills, this is so important. The other mistake guys make is, Rebbe, I'm looking for a yeshiva that will teach me the love of Torah, but not necessarily the skills of Torah. I promise you, if you don't have the skills of Torah, you will never have an authentic love. It can never be as authentic as if you can read through Hashem's will, make sense of it, understand it, commit yourself to it, and convey it to other people. You need to do both. You need the methodology and you need the heart. You need the passion, you need the skills. If you don't have the skills, I'll just nod a lot, turn pages, finish Daf Yomi, say you're a good person. And I'm not in any way diminishing that. There are a lot, but there's something deeper. There's something about knowing Torah as an insider. There's something about knowing how to make your way through a sugya. And for the girls also, you're palpable. Why not? Why shouldn't you be able to see the kishkas of a sugya? Seriously, why should you be deprived of this godless? Why should you be deprived of this beauty of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? And that's what the Rav said Kriya Satara is. Kriya Satara is Shemias Dvar Hashem. Even if you don't understand what's happening in Kriya Satara, just to come once every 3 days and reconnect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just come once every 3 days and build that relationship. It happened once in history that Am Yisrael went 3 days without contact. They all went south. They all got depressed. They all got discombobulated. And Moshe Rabbeinu made it to Kana. Every 3 days we're going to reconnect to Kana. That's what the Rav was medayik from this one word. Read it again. Tikin shikarin kidei shelo yelech shlosha yamin below. Shmiya satar. And that's why, girls. That's why you're chayiv. In Kriya Satara, according to Magen Avraham. Are you chayiv in Talmud Torah? No. But you're chayiv in Kriya Satara. I sometimes, not really chuckle, I don't chuckle at people. I find it interesting. Sometimes married women come late to shul for good reasons, because they're busy with children. And they come a little late, so let's say they'll come during Kriya Satara, and they'll daven Shacharis during Kriya Satara to catch up. Whereas what they should really be doing is, because you're parted from Shacharis, you don't have to daven Zman Gromit, daven whenever you want. There's no Zman Tefillah for women, but you're chayav in Kriya Satara, like in Avraham. What you should really do is hold off on the davening, listen to Kriya Satara, and then a little bit later make up the Shacharis if you want to. You don't really have to. Do we have to stop now? Is that the... Oh, we have a hard deadline, because I want to tell you the second thing.
The hard deadline, probably.
Yeah, but you guys have to go and.
What is it,
Sorry, I have an interview. Thank you so much.
Okay, interview for whom?
For
what?
For
okay, so don't forget when they ask you the question, go. Oh, you weren't here when it
No, I was here.
Deep cleansing breath. That's a good question. Who's interviewing you?
I'm not sure. I think Sally Mayer.
Oh, you know what they say about Linda, though?
What?
It's the second best girl school in Israel.
After McDonald's.
Please send McDonald's and fish this year. Which fresh girls are McDonald's?
Rebecca Roth.
Yes, and good fish girls. What was that cute sweetie last year with her blonde hair? She's like so sincere. Sure. What? Yeah. Where's she this year? Brenda. Very sweet. Very Zeus. Okay. So let me tell you the story, okay, about the second version of Kriya Satara. Okay? But I'll tell you, you can always tell Rav Talmidim in Shul by a couple signs, because Talmidim of the Rav, a couple Minhagim they have. One of them, what is one of them?
Not say Vizos HaTara.
Okay, very good. When you say Vizos HaTara Shasam Moshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael, stop. Because I'll Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe is a half a pasuk. You know, it's a half a pasuk. So like, whenever I'm in a Shul somewhere, I say, like, you know, we find each other. Oh, you're a Talmud, like I'm in Bolivia. How's it going over there, like Mr. Rav Talmud? It's like one of them is we say Bizarre Satar Shasem Moshe Levine Bene Israel. We don't say Al Piyashem Biyad Moshe because they won't have a half a pasuk. What else?
Kiddush.
What are you doing in Kiddush?
You don't say.
Is your father Talmud of the Rav?
No, my brother is very close with Rav Yishai David.
Okay, good. Okay, so what else?
Al Kane? No.
The whole pasuk. We stand at attention during Chazaras Hashatz with our feet together because we feel it's part of the tefillah. And, well, actually, there's a cool thing that I haven't seen happen, but the Rebbe was very makbid to put the tefillin away before starting Shemoneh Esrei in Rosh Chodesh. You know, in Rosh Chodesh, you take your tefillin off, and most people just leave the tefillin on the table to daven Musaf. Even at the cost of Tzvila B'Tzibor, even if it meant, I heard from this, even if it meant you'd be behind the Tzibor, because Tefillin is like a Sefer Torah, you have to have Kiddush's Tefillin. So in Yeshiva, now our minhagas, we take our Tefillin off, we wrap it, it takes about 5 or 6 minutes, put it away.
It says that he saw on the road the shots actually went ahead with his Tefillin unwrapped, and the road stopped in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. I think it's in Nevis Rav, he writes it with like two exclamation points, he stopped in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei.
That's hardcore. It's like, wait, stop the guy. And the biggie, the Talmidim of the Rav, is we stand during Kriya Satara. Now, where does this come from? This comes from Yishami. Let's read the Yishami. Yitzchak, Mishmur Bar Yitzchak was in a shul. All with Kanishta. Kanishta is a shul. Like Yishami is written in hardcore Aramaic, ironically. Talmud Bavli, a little Hebrew Aramaic. Yishami is like hardcore Israeli Aramaic. Like when we were in Yeshiva, we decided to get Gemara into our kishkas. A couple of us decided that we're only going to speak in Gemara language. It's like, Pukhazi, go out and play some ball, and Havli Shelton, give me some food. And we lasted about 3 minutes, and that's about going there. It's like, we tried to have, like, you kind of learn Gemara language, okay? Rishmoel Bar Yitzchak, all Leknishta. He went up for Beis HaKnesses. Chama. Knishta was a place that basically Knesset and Chama. Chad Bar Nash Kayim. What does Chad sound like? Echad, one. One person, Bar Enash. A lot of these letters are missing. Chad Bar Nash, one person got up. Kayim, Mitargim. Those days they had a Mitargim as part of Kriya Satara. So I went to probably Targum Unkelis to explain it to them. Anyone ever daven in a Yemenite shul? They still have them in Yemenite shuls. Have a Mitargim. They'll get up there, Mitargim. You do not want to go to a Yemenite shul for Shabbos. It takes about 4 hours. First of all, you don't understand anything they're talking about.
Dr. Yerberger told me that the problem is nobody told him
to say every word. It's endless. I mean, I like Yemenites. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a bigot. You know, but like, go for Mincha. Mincha's great. Chakras, you want to avoid chakras in Yemenite shul. You want to know the Yemenite community. People confuse them with Spartan. Any Yemenites in the school? No. You said your name is Benarash, right? But you're what? You're Egyptian, right? So Yemenites came to Yemen in the first Beis HaMikdash. So they're the oldest Galus community. They went to... Who's that? Michael.
How are you?
Fresh. First 1999? 2000?
2000, I don't know.
2002.
Not that old.
Scared. Steve Martin, we're going, scared. I gotta get Steve. Steve Martin. No. Scared.
Yeah, I really
but you know, right?
Yeah, I know.
So tell me a little about your experience in Gush.
Gush was fantastic. I'm actually here. Maybe I'm gonna try to learn a little bit. I'm not sure, but I work at an energy company, and I decided I wasn't getting enough learning done, so I'm gonna take a day off a month to learn. But I decided I wanted to learn the first base manners, because Rabbi Garen Schwartz here is such a close friend of mine, and it's just nice being back, you know, where there's a lot of energy. Learn, you know, shul at home, but it's not the same as when there's a ton of energy. Gush Shai is life-changing experience. I went to Gush, it's now 17 years ago. I'm not sure. I went to Gush for a few main reasons. Number one is, in no particular order, Rashi Yeshiva, I'll get to you, don't worry. Rashi Yeshiva, just very different than most Rashi Yeshiva in the other yeshivas I was familiar with, tangentially. And it just created kind of a worldview. They espouse a worldview that I could feel comfortable with and really be inspired by. That's one. Two is friends. Again, no particular order. A bunch of my friends, you know, were going there. I felt, you know, these are the people I want to have a lifelong connection with. There's one of them right there. And Rabbi Targan was actually a huge part of it. That's actually really true. I was, you know, sitting in on my interview. I had my interviews with Rabbi Targan from Gush. Had KBY and Sheldon, and just the difference in, you know, what in the types of questions that I was being asked. Rabbi Targan clearly caring a lot about, you know, who I am, what I aspire to be. It was totally different than the types of questions I got from good yeshivas, Sheldon, and the people representing Sheldon and KBY. The questions were, you know, I remember one of the questions, do I go to movies? I go to Frisch, of course. I go to movies. Do I have a girlfriend? Yeah, I have a girlfriend. I got into all of them. What exactly was being asked, in terms of, like, what each of the representatives felt were important and helped me determine what would be best for me. It's like it was really his night and day, and Sarah Tarrant actually was a huge part of why I chose to Gush. I'm still very close to the yeshiva today, 18 years later. I was just in the yeshiva less than a month ago. I was visiting my brother-in-law, who graduated from basic training and wanted to spend an extra day learning yeshiva, so I went to Gush and got to spend about 45 minutes. Just sitting with Rabbi Targan and some of the other band as well. There's a real lifelong connection there. So sure, whatever decision you make will be a great one. Certainly, if you choose Gush, you won't regret it. That's for sure.
Pretty good.
I didn't know I was going to have to do this.
Back into the rabbit. This is your entry, okay?
Maybe.
I'm not even going to go there.
What's that? don't go there.
But again, Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
I didn't see you since the...
Yeah.
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 It's
really beautiful. Nice challenge. All right. I'll see you.
I'm going to finish.
In the energy sector, it's like a little bit of a understand. You run the entire thing, right? A little understand. Don't think like he's the Con Ed worker who fixes the election.
When he said I could decide to take a day off a month,
there you go.
Kind of.
I think he could decide to take off like his whole life if he needed to. Anyway, so what were we talking about? I don't know. Look, we now know the cat has a girlfriend also, so that's good. And there's the shot. I like it, the blushers, I look at the guys hiding. Okay. Amar Lay. So he saw the Metargim guy who was giving over the Targum at Ret Yemenites. He saw the Metargim guy who was leaning. He was while he was discussing the Targum, he was like leaning on the table. So this Rav Shmuel said, Asur l'cha, stand up for this. You can't lean. Look at line number two. Kishin shenitna b'ema uv'yira, just like Tara and Harsinai was given with fear and trembling and trepidation and the mountain and the smoke and the billowing fire and the volcanoes. Just like in Harsinai, look at those skies. Look at the trees outside. But don't look at the trees. That's your imagination, buddy. Don't just thought optically. Look historically. Try to imagine Harsinai. Don't imagine you're standing in Harsinai. Not the tower, not the trees, not the ugly buildings. Just imagine the mountain and the smoke and the Devar Hashem and not the plane and millions of Jews. And it was breathtaking, but it was frightening. Not frightening. Your Shemayim boys, girls, doesn't mean you're afraid of Hashem. Your Shemayim means you realize Hashem is different. You realize you're Hashem. This is cosmic, it's universal, it's there. When's the last time you stood, not because you were showing respect, not because you were tired, but because you felt like the moment demanded standing. Something like, I want to stand for this. If this is important, I want to stand for it. And therefore, when we have Kriyas HaTara, he told this person, you're the Metargim and you're part of Kriyas HaTara, you should be standing also. This is the Makara for the Rav's standing during Kriyas HaTara, because here's the second Kiddush of the Rav. Not only is Kriyas HaTara a chance to create an experience connecting to Hashem by listening to his word, but what else is Kriyas HaTara? It's a we're getting together every 3 days and we'll make believe Hashem, because Hashem is so seminal. It's so central, guys. I'm going to throw me out of fish for this, but I believe Jesus walked on water. I believe Jesus healed people. Why? Because at the root of my belief isn't cognitive. One of the boys came to me in the shul a couple of days ago, because everybody was down there with a conversation and 34 questions about faith. I said, I'm not going to answer any of your 34 questions. You have to learn what faith is before you answer questions. Let's talk about how you build faith. Because faith is not about finding answers to questions. Faith is about establishing a baseline in which you feel Hashem, you feel your Masari, you feel you belong to someone. Then some answers you tackle, some answers you don't tackle. I'm 3 times your age, guys. I've got a lot of questions. I don't know, I never will. I'm sure we're going to answer these questions. He doesn't know, he'll never know. But we believe for deeper reasons, because my father gave me a tradition. That always asked me an interesting question, getting back to Gresham. I want to be a little learning, I really want you guys to see what's here. Why do I believe? You know what I told him? I said, I met Reb Lichtenstein. I have never met a person of that caliber in every facet of life, morally, righteously, learning. He's just the most incredible person, smart, sensitive, caring, intelligent, compassionate, selfless, humble. If you made a list of 20 traits, Rav Aaron Bach exemplified all of them. I walked into a mountain, I could ever imagine seeing something like that. And then Rav Aaron told me about the Rav. And when Rav Aaron spoke about the Rav, he viewed the Rav the way I viewed Rav Aaron. So the person that I couldn't imagine wrapping my head around was describing someone that he had met, so like a double non-head wrapper, like exponentially. Imagine exponential Rav Aaron. And Rav Aaron told me that when the Rav described Reb Chaim to him, he described Reb Chaim in ways that I saw Rav Aaron. So now it's Rav Aaron cubed, Rav Aaron to the third. Because Rav Aaron told me about the Rav in the ways that I saw Rav Aaron, and the Rav told Rav Aaron about Reb Chaim in the ways that I saw Rav Aaron. So I believe, because I come from a Masara that I belong to, and I don't have to solve all the questions, because greater people than me have built this for me, and I can just stand on their platform. When I close my eyes at night, I don't have answers to questions. When I close my eyes at night, I think of people. I think of Rav Aaron, I think of the Rav, I think of Zevi, I think of the people that have connected me to the Masara. remember the hardest part when Iron was nicknamed, I was crying like a baby for a week. At the time, my wife asked me, like, why are you so sad? I said, you know why I'm so sad? And I'll show you. I felt like when I got you to come to Yeshiva, when I got Michael Stein to come to Jerry River, Goldfish to come to Yeshiva, you know what I felt I was doing for them? I felt like I'm holding on to a Iron. He's holding on to the rug. He's holding on to her crying. He's holding on back to her Sinai, and now come hold on to my legs so you can hold on to her Iron. Because I'm attaching you to something greater, and then I'll get you to hold on to her, and he can't kind of hold on to more. I said, now the round's gone. Now all they have to hold on to is me. But there's no one else for them to hold on to. I'm sorry, I'm not worthy. I'm not that type of person that should be holding on to them. One thing, I was so convinced you should come to Yeshiva. I said, yeah, I'll teach you a little, I can teach you a little bit. But I got you to run. I got you to give it. I mean, I will put you on the spot. But if I ask you, what's the greatest gift in your life after your wife? Seriously, you can argue.
I think I put in there together being a child of my parents.
Right. Yeah, that's why. Aside from family.
And rules.
Who gave you that gift? Seriously. That's a good close. You give people gifts. That's why I knew. Right? Again, I don't have to make it personal, so I make it more graphic, more visual. So I told him, you don't need answers to your questions. You need to understand how faith works. And I gave him books to read about faith, and we're talking about faith and how you build faith. So I believe that Jesus walked on water, because my faith comes from thousands of fathers that have passed down traditions through thousands of years. So if I'm intellectually honest, I have to grant the same legitimacy to Christian belief, to grant the same legitimacy to Muslim belief. I believe Jesus walked on water. I believe that Jesus healed people. That doesn't make it a religion. That just makes him a magician who walked on water and healed people. I believe that Muhammad woke up one day and dreamed that Hashem told him to conquer the world and to create a new religion. A lot of people have those dreams. Most of them are in the puzzle house. My masar is, I can't prove it to you, but I accept it because it was handed down. My masar is, we stirred 3 million people, shoulder to shoulder, at Har Sinai, listening to Hashem directly in a way which was not hallucinatory. I wasn't on drugs because there were 3 million people there who clearly said, this is happening. I can't prove it to you, but if I accept that, then I heard Hashem speak to me, and that's the religion. I heard Hashem. Hashem spoke to you, and Hashem spoke to you, and Hashem spoke to you, and Hashem spoke to you. And every 3 days, we get together, and we recreate that. And we stand in shul together, and how could you not stand during Kriyas HaTorah if you feel you're standing in our Sinai? And that's why we have 3 aliyahs. One aliyah for Kohen, one aliyah for Levi, one aliyah for Yisrael, because in order to make our Sinai, it's a little problem. Who is that our Sinai? There's only one answer to that question. Who is that our Sinai? Everyone. Anyone know what it's called? There's a nickname for Har Sinai. You look at your sheet, cheat sheet, next page. What is the phrase of Har Sinai? What was that day called? Since everyone was there. What was that day called? Yom HaKahal. Everyone was there. So the Rav claimed, in order to recreate Har Sinai during Kriyas HaTorah, who has to come? Everyone. It's pretty hard to fit the entire Jewish people into the first base medrash. That's what the senior class is, right? In the first place matters. It's pretty hard. So we can't get everyone there. So we'll symbolically have a Kohen, and symbolically have a Levi, and symbolically have a Yisrael. Just to have, symbolically, we've covered the spread. You've got a delegate from the Kohen tribe, that went on 12, 12 be too much. Kohen tribe, Levi tribe, Yisrael tribe. Now we have, who knows which ceremony, not once every 3 days, but which ceremony once in a while, really captured Har Sinai. Why is it called HaKel? Everyone was there. And that's what the Rav said is the second part of Kriyas HaTorah. The Rav claimed Kriyas HaTorah is not just, I'll repeat it because I know you guys have to leave, it's not just, let's get together in public and learn. Kriyas HaTorah is experiential. Hear Hashem's voice. Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice. Again, I know you guys are in high school. Very often kids will ask me in an interview, Rebbe, how can I get prepared for Yeshiva in Israel? I'll tell them all the time, take one part of your Avodas Hashem and change it now before you get to Israel. Because so many high school kids are in that holding pattern. I'm in high school, I'll wait till I get to Israel to turn it on. If you wait to get to Israel to turn it on, when you leave Israel, you'll never know whether you're capable of doing it on your own. If you say, I'm going to own it and take possession of it, I'm going to start the process. Very small, baby steps, little things. Take one aspect and improve it. Then you'll hit Israel with hit the ground with your feet running, and you have traction, and you're into it, and you're passionate. Here's a good thing to take a little more seriously. It's not big, it's not major, it's not overwhelming. When you're in Shul for Kriya Sattara, don't talk. Pay attention. If you're a talker, stop talking. If you're a gozer, pay a little attention. Open up a chumash. Just know you're trying to hear Hashem talk to you, and you're trying to go back to that moment that you stood together at Har Sinai. Little things. Then all of a sudden, one thing leads to another, drip, 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 and it becomes like a whole explosion. Okay? So I'm going to, Mirtz Hashem, work out with you, Rebbeim, that went to meet you. I want to meet everyone. I want to meet everyone. I was applying to the yeshiva. Step me through. It's the hardest yeshiva to wrap into a little wrapper. Who goes to Gresh? That's not a question you ask about Gresh. What type of club? It's a different place. It's a different feel. It's not a program that takes high school boys. It's like the Mir. It's a huge ecosystem where people come from all over the world to learn at that level. Rabbi, I'm intimidated by Gresh. Really good question. I don't know if I can hold up. It's a very intense place. I'll help you decide whether that intensity would be good for you, but I'm here to help you talk it through. I'm not going to give you the bechinas. I'm here as just a non-bechina guy. I was joking before about the hand, negative breathing. I don't give bechinas. I know it's the bechina Gresh, but I want you to get a sense of what good chance to ask questions and really be as honest with me as you can so I can help you walk you through it, okay? Really great to see all you guys, most of you. Please in. Lunchtime?
Quiz.
Quiz in what? Quiz on what?
Oh,
math. Blame it on the rabbi. Is this Passaic, Mrs. Gortz?
Yeah.
She's from Passaic. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
So where's everyone?
She has a question for me. Last year, when I was giving him. Do you guys remember this? The Gemara says that Yevshar among three that Belakibu Chadikam Yevshar Kharas. What percentage of Yoshik and his work? I know that my was hapless common teacher needs help with some statistics. What is the percentage of the general population of Yoshik Kharanos among them that have to be Gomer Sugar in order for, I said, 90% chance that if you take a base in of three of them, or take any random sampling of three of them, one of them, 95% chance of one of them being. I realized very quickly I didn't have a math for that. You guys remember what it was? They said that they should be able to do it.
It sounds like you like math. I'll tell you a good Rav Aaron Rupp story. The Rav loved math, because math is the substructure of the universe. Everything's based on math. So when Rav Aaron came to YU, Rav Aaron told me the story. He went to the Rav and he said, what should I study? So Rav said, study math. So Rav Aaron took a heavy dosage of math. He came back after one semester and he said, I don't really like math that much. What should I do? So the Rav said, take more math. So, well, Rav Aaron wasn't such a big man. So, yeah. But your girlfriend probably likes math. Okay, it's all good. It's all good. Most importantly, guys and girls, seriously, don't limit your brain. Don't peg yourself, seriously. Life isn't about brains. It's very overrated, seriously. Intellect will only get you so far. Relationships over accomplishments, passion over intellect, heart over mind. But your mind's a really powerful tool. And you want to develop it. Today, there's this undercurrent where if you use the word intellectual, like you're cursing the guy out. It's important to be an intellectual. It's important not to be intellectualism, where that's the seed of whom you are. Develop your mind. Learn how to use it. Any guys into fitness, working out, right? You want to develop your muscles. You want to develop things. Why don't you want to develop your mind? So don't say, oh, I'm not a math guy. I'm a poet. I like art. I like literature. I don't want to ever see numbers. I don't want to force yourself. That was who I was in high school, and I force-fed myself math and science. It changed my life. So I'm a science guy. I don't want to talk about people and sculptures and art. No, it creates imagination. When you go through life, and especially these couple years, try to diversify your mind and give it as many ways to function. Because each of those pathways will help you in life, and of course, will help you in Torah. So really just don't limit yourself. If you don't like math, go for it. try to understand. You're like science meters. Don't limit yourself. Hashem gave you an incredible tool, and you want to develop the toolbox as much as you can. Don't pencil yourself in. This is who I am. Diversity and versatility as best you can, okay? Well, free advice.
Mrs. Katz says hi. She's my statistics teacher. So she's when Rev Weber came, she made sure to talk a few conversations.
Which show do you
live in? Rev Bush. I live in Montana. I'm very close to be on Rev Bush. In fact, it works for all sorts. No, you don't have a lot to give students. No, the things have gotten very strong this year.
Okay, guys, say goodbye, thank goodbye, Aria, goodbye. I'll see you at some point this week. Yeah.
I just got here.
Zach, good to see you on this end. Big hug, the big gorilla. That's a big gorilla.
Thank you so much.
Remember your name
again?
Super.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
No, he's not my teacher. I remember Blau is here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Great. Yeah. He's sick today.
Ezra. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Did everyone get brochures? You got brochures in Israel?
Yeah. What was the answer? Why did it say we in?
See the rough felt? There was a whole group.
There's a whole group there.
Thank you.
Where are you applying to?
Mykonos
is a whole group. It's a very, very specific place with very specific atmosphere. It's like Christian, I call it the society. A lot of different places, a lot of different people. You could be Central Feldman, you could be.
Thank you so much.
See you on Sunday. On
Sunday? At Health Guard Hospital.
Oh, she's coming.
Let's get a little walled in, as I'd rather move together.